You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
We're 25 hours away from our annual draft to celebrate the first round of the NFL draft kicking off tomorrow night. And our theme this year, video games. We'll be joined by Scott Wildcat from Bosco's Boys, Curry Sexton from Wildcat NIL, former wide receiver. Speaking of about a decade ago, right? When he had his last season, Curry Sexton joins us three. Well, actually, AJ not assigned for tomorrow's show, but he may have to step in because Owen's under the weather. And Owen has the first overall pick in the draft. Rumors are swirling on what the first overall pick might be.
Yeah, now we know why he's under the weather.
I've heard Fortnite come up. Fortnite, obviously, actually, that would really hit home with student athletes.
He's working the phone lines. He's doing his research. This is why he's under the weather. Well, he didn't want anybody getting an inkling of what he's going to do at number one.
Well, now that you're telling me I have to fill in, now I'm going to be sick tomorrow because I haven't prepared for this.
Well, if you have to step in, you have 25 hours to put together a big board and prepared to pick
these
games.
These GMs take years to build up their draft board, and I'm getting 25 hours to do it. Not fair to me, I think.
Years? We got 2 days, brother. The announcement was only made yesterday as to what we were doing. Years.
And I mean, I knew about it.
Yeah, Yeah.
24 hours in advance.
Four of the five of us.
But I'm the last one to pick in the first round. Snake-style draft that'll kick off at 5:10 tomorrow here on The Game. Welcome to The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and AJ Shaw. Again, Owen under the weather, but hopefully he'll be able to join us tomorrow as, you know, he received the news yesterday that he'll be making the first overall pick from, you know, I've heard Fortnite that I mentioned earlier. Student athletes, I think that's the most common video game I've heard. Going back to the Dean Wade game. Apparently Dean Wade used to dominate in Fortnite. I'm personally not a fan of the game. I'd rather play different Battle Royale style games like PUBG or Call of Duty or Apex. I think they're all better than Fortnite. Asteroids, you remember that game, Troy?
I've heard that very game well, come up. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That used to be a big one back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
What was the last did you ever own a console?
The only console I owned, we did have a Wii for a brief bit. But
yeah, those died out, I feel like, pretty quickly.
Yeah, real quick, yeah. So the only ones I've ever had have been Nintendo, because I had an original NES.
I had one of those, yeah.
And then we had the Wii. Those are the only consoles I've ever had.
I gave Wii a shot, and there was like Wii bowling, you know, games you could play with other people, and it's very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it an hour. I'm just like, you know, I'm already bored of this. We're in a culture these days where you're so used now to just playing online with friends online. You're not in the same room. You're not sharing the same TV. That it's like you now prefer playing alone while your friends are online.
I will say this. They made a tremendous recovery by what they've done with Switch. I've not played a Switch, but I have a ton of friends who love them.
Well, more video game talk tomorrow as the rumors still swirl about what will that number one overall pick be. I know what I would pick number one overall, but will my pick still be on the board when my pick rolls around in the first round, pick number five? Got a lot happening today on the show. Arthur Kaluma has declared for the NBA draft. RJ Jones of K-State men's basketball has entered the transfer portal. Coming up at 5:25, we'll speak with K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes. Coming off a win in a game they almost canceled yesterday because of RPI ramifications. Even though K-State's a much better team and they won the game, they still fell in the RPI rankings, but not much, just one spot. We lead off as, guys, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means.
No gaming.
AEW Dynamite tonight, and we are coming off a phenomenal. What AEW does so well is pay-per-views. They never miss on it. They have not had a bad pay-per-view, and Swerve Strickland is now the new AEW World Champion. So the fallout from AEW Dynasty from this past Sunday in St. Louis, Missouri. That also means we're joined by a particular individual from K-State Online. DY, again, unavailable. He's in Chicago for a conference. So, back by popular demand, Mason Voth from K-State Online joins us once again. Mason, if you had the first overall pick in a video game draft, what would you select?
I started thinking about this pretty quickly when you guys were talking about it. I think you have to go with some version of Call of Duty. So in my mind, I think that would either be Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops. I think those are probably the two that stand out most to me. And I mean, Call of Duty, I don't know the full numbers behind it, but it certainly comes across as possibly being the best gaming franchise of all time. So I think that's probably got to be a strong contender for number one.
Call of Duty is huge. And I made it, I sent the guys an email and I made it clear that if you are to pick a video game from a popular series, you need to be specific about which game you're picking because they do vary in success and popularity in nostalgia. You mentioned, too, that were very big, but the thing about Call of Duty is they've actually had multiple games come out where they're the same name. I think there's like a couple of Modern Warfare 2s in Black Ops. Hey, breaking news here, Mason. Need to get this pulled up here real quick, but knew this was coming out just as a matter of time. At least I knew it was coming out. August 23rd, 2025, it is now official. K-State will play Iowa State in football in Ireland. August 23rd, 2025 in Dublin, Ireland. K-State, Iowa State, Farmageddon is heading to Ireland. Mason, what's your reaction to that news?
You know, I think it's mixed. I think, obviously, there is good TV viewership to gain from this. I'm sure there's good financial gain for K-State in this. But there is the element to it of you're giving away a home game to do this because the Iowa State game is supposed to be out next season, at home next season. So there are parts of this that I think are good. It'll be a fun time, no doubt, for anybody that goes, for the teams over there, but there are reasons why people would be skeptical, and I'm not going to call them fools for thinking that way. But in the end, this is probably a good thing for K-State, and like it's not something that happens without Gene Taylor signing off on it, and I think at this point in time, people know to have blind faith in Gene Taylor because he's going to make the right decision more times than not.
I mean, you go back to 2021, and K-State had the opportunity to move the Stanford game. And that was also a year where K-State already had, they actually had 8 home games lined up. Then it rolled back to 7. So it was like a normal year for Manhattan and hosting games. But they had the opportunity to play Stanford at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And it benefited K-State financially. So this could definitely be another one of those opportunities financially. Plus, I think it's pretty cool because K-State hasn't played an international game since the Nebraska game in Japan in 1992, and also to play in week 0, I think is quite interesting. I mean, this may be, I don't know, like this could be the game that kicks off college football next year. So I do find the excitement in it. Plus, I mean, this is an opportunity to go to Ireland on a company dime. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's a good point. That's one way to look at it. I'm sure the lobbying by Drew and I will already start for DY on getting the budget ready for that. But I like you brought up the Stanford game in 2021. Different circumstances, and the people that are going to look at this from the, like, you can make that sacrifice because of the 8 home game thing, I think is legitimate. And that's probably the hang up that I have the most. And it's unfortunate to give this game up. But ultimately, at the end of the day, none of that stuff really matters as long as K-State goes to Ireland and beats Iowa State. And that's really all this comes down to. And that's probably why some people will have an issue with it, is you would rather be playing that game at home, because it's just another factor. Long travel to go play over there and giving up an advantage of playing at home is probably not the most exciting thing for some. But at the end of the day, should be a fun time.
Just of note, Florida State, Georgia Tech are this year's opener over there.
And Wisconsin is going like 2027, I think. So it's not totally uncommon for big-name schools to go over there and sacrifice what would be a home game in some ways. So it's happened, and obviously we know Notre Dame and Nebraska have kind of been headliners the last 2 years. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Anybody that's over there, it'll be fun, and I certainly know it'll be a good time for the people that are still back here, and week zero fires up, and that first college football game of the year, it's going to be K-State. You get to be a part of that excitement and just getting to start your college football watching off early. So at the end of the day, it's a bigger win than it is a loss for K-State.
So I'm just thinking out loud here. So non-con next year, Army at Arizona. I don't remember who the FCS opponent is. So two out of the three non-cons will be at home, technically non-cons with Arizona. And then I think – so is this upcoming season, is it 5 or 4 with the home games? I don't remember. Do you remember, Mace?
So this season is 4 Big 12 games at home, and then there's a road game at Tulane and non-con. So it's 6 home games this season and 6 home games next year now, which is, again, like that's just going to be probably the root of this argument for people. Is you're sacrificing that extra home weekend. And I know that's a big deal to a lot of people out there, so I don't want to diminish that.
Well, and I also understand, like, you know, K-State also playing a home game on a Friday this upcoming season can be a bit of a pain. So I totally hear that argument as well. But personally, just as a fan, somebody that covers K-State with this opportunity to potentially go to Ireland, I am absolutely excited for that opportunity. You know, let's stick with football for just a moment, as that's obviously very interesting breaking news. Well, we learned yesterday that that Dylan Edwards has jumped into the portal. Obviously, was previously committed to K-State in the summer of 2022. Breaks that commitment. Notre Dame breaks that commitment, becomes a Colorado Buffalo for 1 year, and just goes balls to the wall against TCU. And it was kind of minimal work after that. But we know the relationship, and we know the kind of player Dylan Edwards is. So are you all in on K-State going all in potentially bringing Dylan Edwards to K-State?
Absolutely. The talent there is just a no-brainer, and it fits for what K-State would want. Obviously, like, you can do a lot of different things with him. He can come out of the backfield. You can line him up wide. And he would be a good complement to DJ Giddens. And that's one where, like, there wouldn't be a ton of drop-off. And I know some people have questioned, like, well, you know, if you bring him in, what happens with DJ Giddens? DJ Giddens is not going anywhere, and nobody is overtaking DJ Giddens as a starting running back for K-State next year. DJ Giddens is going to get at least 20, 25 carries a game no matter what next season. But you bring Dylan Edwards in, it's just another wrinkle you can add. And, I at the end of the day, I get why people would have some reservations because of how the high school recruiting process played out. I talked about this with Drew Galloway earlier today for a video we did talking kind of transfer portal stuff. But it's certain circumstances for Dylan Edwards where, yes, he committed to K-State. It was very public in how things turned out. And then he decommits, goes to Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, like, as much as we hate to admit it, you can kind of see – if you look through the K-State glasses and pass all that, you can understand why a kid would be enthralled by Notre Dame and want to go hop on there. And so he did that. He broke it off one time. And I think that's that. And then you just get the randomness of Colorado making a brain-dead decision to hire Deion Sanders as their head coach. And a lot of kids bought into that. They're saying to themselves, heck yeah, I want Prime to be my head coach. And as we're seeing now, a lot of them are saying, heck no, I do not want him to be my head coach. I think Drew said today they've had almost 30 guys from last year's team leave. Like, these kids understand now, and I think they did a lot of growing up, because I do think a lot of the kids that committed to Deion Sanders were immature in their decision-making processes. But I think going to Colorado and seeing what's gone on there has gotten them to grow up pretty quick and realize what really matters in this process. And I think that's something that could happen for K-State. And another thing that I'd point out on the K-State end of things is K-State hosted Dylan Edwards on a visit on a game day when he was committed to Notre Dame after the fact of the decommitment and everything. So this is not a staff that they soured the second that he decommitted and went to Notre Dame. So I think the relationship is still there, and I don't think they're going to be bothered by anything that happened in the past. I think they're going to look at it and say, if you want to be a cat now, we'd love to make you one.
I totally forgot about his visit while he was committed to Notre Dame. That's a great thing to mention there. So, yeah, there's obviously still some sort of relationship there, plus the QB, Avery Johnson. They used to play football together as kids. They were opponents when they were in high school, but there's still obviously a strong relationship there. I'm sure they have a really strong snap streak going on right now on Snapchat. So we'll take a break. We'll wrap up the football conversation there, because we got to get to the big basketball news, and I can tell old Elliot's ready to take a break as well. So when we come back, we'll answer a very big question. If Mason Voth had college basketball talent, would his clone be Brendan Housen? That's coming up next on The Game. AJ, is this one of your songs that you put in the system?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
No, it's Troy? Not.
I mean,
it says TC09.
Yes, that's. I mean, come on, it should make sense. Yes.
You don't like the Jonas Brothers?
No.
Nice timing.
Breaking news from moments ago: the Cats are heading to Ireland when they kick off the 2025 season. They're taking on Iowa State Farmageddon from Ireland, which, by the way, is a big wheat country. That needed to be pointed out. Big wheat country, not so much corn. Big wheat country is Ireland, also a big beer country. Fans, I don't know what the Bush Light equivalent is for beer in Ireland. But just take this as an opportunity to broaden your horizons.
I think you're going to be shot if you even bring up Bush Light.
They had issues, right, last year at Aviva Stadium?
They ran out.
They ran out of beer. I think it was like on one side of the stadium.
Yes.
They ran out or
yes,
something
Yes, it
like
was
that.
The Wisconsin side of the stadium.
Would have been Notre Dame and Navy.
Okay, so Notre Dame side of the stadium, yeah.
Mason, do you remember that? Was it last year's game that they like ran out of beer?
Yeah, I believe it was last year's game for Notre Dame and Navy. So that they got to be prepared for 2025, because if only one half of the fan base there in Notre Dame was doing that, I guarantee you that both sides of this rivalry will definitely sell you out of beer, especially if it's in the stadium, because both of these schools, I think, would love nothing more than beer to be served inside their stadiums.
You ever had a Guinness before, Mason?
I have not.
I like a good Guinness.
All right, well, I guess I'll have my first one in 2025 in August over in Ireland.
I mean, you pour it different. You let it sit for a while. You let it simmer, and then you start drinking. It's a
simmer. That's frightening to think about for a beer. Thank you very much.
Well, maybe there's a better word to describe what the actual event that's taking place is. You
allow it to breathe.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the fine beer, the wine equivalent for Ireland there with Guinness. All right, Mason, let's jump over to basketball. Before the break, I mentioned Brendan Housen. He is the transfer from Villanova who visited K-State. He has not made his decision yet on if he's going to become a Cat or not, but it feels like K-State has a pretty good shot of getting him. his fit would obviously be, and this has been his career so far for 2 years, is just shooting a ton of threes, coming off the bench, and he's averaged 6 points a game last year. 39.5% three-point shooter in his two seasons at Villanova. If you had the talent of a college basketball player, is this guy your clone of just a guy shooting threes a lot?
Probably so. I would say he's a lot along the lines of what I would model my game after. And Drew has talked about a bunch of different like numbers with him. I think he only took like 12 two-point shots last year, only three layups. Like, he is, get me out there, get me in a spot, I'm going to take some shots. And, I mean, he attempted five threes a game in just 17 minutes of game time. So this is exactly the kind of player that I would probably be. Honestly, it's impressive that in those minutes, as a 6'4 guard that's, you know, floating around, he actually had over 1.5 rebounds per game. So that's probably even more than what I would do. I'd have to play in the NBA to get rebounds, to get some of the Luka Doncic rebounds where I'm not actually boxing anybody out for him. I'm just, you know, letting the ball fall to me after a brick. So Brendan Housen, I think, would be a really nice add for K-State because it's exactly what they need. We talked so much last year about if this team just had one shooter, things would feel a lot different and their success level would be higher. And I think that's what Brendan Housen can provide for them.
Housen this past season for Villanova was 8 of 16 from 2. So he did take 16 shots, but he also took 163s and was 38%. So, yeah, he jacks up the threes. And that was, let's see, in his career, he has taken in two seasons 223 threes and is 39.5%. So obviously, Doug McDaniel, CJ Jones are going to transfer in. A couple of guards K-State's picked up. Obviously, K-State is really attacking and trying to really shore up this class. As Jerome Tang told me on Monday, that he'd like to get this class done in a week. Things have changed a little bit. I want to get your reaction to two things real quick. About Arthur Kaluma declaring for the draft, you know, his statement did really seem like he was done with college basketball but maintains eligibility. But also with that, and then were you surprised RJ Jones decided to enter the portal?
Well, on the Kaluma front, I don't know that he'll come back. I don't know what Arthur Kaluma can gain from coming back to college. I know some would say, well, he could, you know, improve his stock or whatever. I think Arthur Kaluma kind of is what he is. I think every year at Creighton, they were telling themselves, hey, he's going to make a jump and be this. And I think that's what you'd be telling yourself at K-State. I think if Arthur Kaluma came back, it would be really good for K-State because he'd be in the right role next year. He wouldn't have to be one of the two best players for K-State next season. But I just don't know that he's actually going to be able to change his game enough for it to make a real difference. In the terms of RJ Jones, I don't know that this is a total shocker. It just comes down to reading the tea leaves. It's that if RJ Jones is leaving, a guy who's really only skill that would get him on the floor right now would be his shooting, which he struggled at last year, it probably means that K-State has something lined up like a Brendan Housen who visited already. So I think that once you know what's kind of been going on behind the scenes, like Housen visiting, you can kind of start to think, you know, maybe K-State's going to find a shooting option that's proven. Like, Housen's only a year older than RJ Jones. So Housen comes with 2 years left to play, and he's already proven that he's a 40% shooter at the college basketball level. And he's essentially a better version of RJ Jones in terms of what you need him to be. So I'm not shocked by it. I think it's good for both parties because at the end of the day, the way it would have played out is RJ Jones doesn't see a ton of minutes this coming season, and he decides to transfer after the end of the year anyways. And at that point, you've probably wasted some of your equity and time into him that you really didn't need to. And for RJ Jones, he can go play somewhere immediately and probably have a really productive career. So I think it's good for everybody.
Mason Voth from K-State Online is our guest. We're talking K-State basketball recruiting. In town right now are two very solid transfers and potentially cats. You never know how it plays out. Arkansas veteran wing and a 6'5 Khalif Battle, who is just a bucket getter, very electric. can hit shots from all three levels. Rutgers transfer is 6'11", center Clifford Amori. I think he just goes by Cliff Amori. Native of Nigeria. Again, a really solid player. And again, I think K-State's taking more of an approach of loading up on guards and, you know, being more guard heavy with, you know, gravitating towards the five out offense. You know, that's, of course, what Baylor had when they won a national championship. And even surrounding that was real guard heavy lineup. Where's your confidence level right now about, you know, you could even throw Housen in there, but also with Amori and battle of becoming and K-State winning these guys as recruits. And by the way, there have been signs put out welcoming them home. And remember the last time they did that was, I'm not saying K-State did that, but whoever put out these similar signs was Patrick Ngongba, who ended up at Duke. But where's your confidence level right now?
There are a lot of options out there for these guys. They're obviously highly sought after given what they could provide. But I think K-State's in a good spot for a lot of these guys. I think as long as they have this staff in place, it's a staff that relates really well to players. So they've got that going for them. I think we know that they have the NIL backing now to be real players in these recruitments. And really at the end of the day, it's just going to come down to, can you sell the fit of the school and the team and everything else? And I think you have the players to do that right now. So I think they're in a good spot for a lot of these guys. I don't know where I would put my confidence level on them landing all of them, but you know, we've talked about Housen and Battle and Amori. I think that they're in a position where you could realistically say they get at least two of those three guys. And I would say right now, based on the chatter, I would probably say K-State's the front runner for guys like Housen and Battle. Amori, we'll see. That one's just such a tighter and stranger recruitment. But I do think K-State is in a good position for a lot of these guys. And I really would not be shocked if they landed all the, you know, they got three or four spots to work with. They could land all the guys, one, two, three, four, that they're targeting right now.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if Amori, you know, this is just by going by what I feel like, where I think the offense is going. You know, Amori is a solid player. Is he the best fit? You know, I keep gravitating back towards Bobba Miller of Florida State and how athletic he is as a 6'11 big who can start with the ball outside the perimeter. You know, he has a little bit of a three-point shot to his game. I guess I'll get your reaction to that about the, like, do you have a guy that you feel like who would be a five but be the best fit for K-State?
I think that this staff will probably adjust based on the personnel. I think a player like Clifford Amori, there will always be a role for. He can block shots at a really high level. And I think given the pieces that he'll have around him next season, his offensive numbers could elevate. And it's not like you need him to carry a game for you, but K-State is going to have guys that can open things up and make it pretty easy for him to score. But I'm with you. Bobba Miller, his game is very fascinating to me. I like the thought of what could be done there. I mean, that's a guy that even a couple of months ago, even with not like in-your-face stats at Florida State as a sophomore, was in NBA mock drafts and people were interested in at that level. So I think any of the big options that are out there right now for K-State would be really good. And I think that there's a world where you can make both of those guys work together on the same roster. I mean, the roster is not finished yet, and I know that K-State wants to be close to having it finished, but there is a real scenario where K-State has an embarrassment of riches next year with how deep this roster could be and a lot of guys that you think could come through for you and do big things.
All right, Mason, that's going to wrap it up. You got any thoughts on Dallas Cowboys in the draft, and I hope they don't blow it, but should they go early for a wide receiver?
No, they should just – I don't even know. They've got a lot of problems right now. They should probably just focus on winning a playoff game. I don't care who you draft as long as you can get that done.
They've got one problem right now. That's all they've got.
Yeah. Well, he can't have too many years left, right?
You would hope.
Are we talking as a owner or are we talking in lifespan?
I would say as general manager, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do the job of NFL GM forever. Like, he's got to take the gas off at some point and he can hand it off to somebody else who would no way would be as incompetent as him. It's not like he's got a kid that's right there waiting to take over and do the same thing, right?
A job that might be handed down?
I don't know. I think I am in the crappiest position as an NFL fan. I'm a Cowboys fan born in 1998, so they haven't really done jack in my lifetime. And so, you know, you talk to anybody like, oh, Cowboys fan. It's like, I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys are much worse off than the Chiefs have been in my lifetime, which is not something I expected to say when I was 9 years old. So,
well, and I'll just end with this, that I was five when the Cowboys stopped winning playoff games. And so I was technically alive for some Super Bowl wins. I was alive for three of them. But they haven't been to an NFC Championship game since 1996. The problem is the delusion of the Cowboys making it all the way every single year is just too contagious. And then you just fall into what's become a laughingstock, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. And they're not a dynasty anymore.
The problem is that they have legitimately had the teams and the talent to where they could do it. Like, way lesser teams have made it to Super Bowls in my lifetime, and some of them have won them, like basically all of those Giants teams.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you know, K-State does not have the magic left in the hat that some of the – or not K-State, the Cowboys don't have the magic left in the hat that some of these teams have. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. But they've basically done nothing in free agency, and I feel like the roster has not gotten better. So maybe they'll have a draft that really blows me away. I highly doubt it. Maybe they'll draft a K-Stater again, though. So maybe that'll be the only thing that we have going for us this draft.
All right, what happens first? K-State wins a college football playoff game, or the Cowboys win a playoff game? Just in general, you know, pass the division or pass the wild card round.
Wow. Oh, like the, yeah, okay. I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. I'd venture to say that it's really not unfathomable to think that K-State wins a college football playoff game before the Cowboys make it to the NFC title game again. Because you just have to win one game, and like in the 12-team playoff, you're going to get an opponent that theoretically you should be able to handle. And, I mean, we are in easily K-State's best window the next 2 years with what they have going on with Avery Johnson and obviously everybody else on this roster and the way things are being built.
Yeah, and then Dylan Edwards joins the team, and you got a garage full of Cadillacs, or not Cadillacs, yep. Ferraris. Ferraris is probably a better way to go. Bugattis. All right, Mason, that'll wrap it up. See ya, Elliot. See ya, Mason, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. We'll see ya.
Mason Voth from KSN Online joining us here on The Game. Still to come in hour number two, more on Arthur Kaluma and RJ Jones, plus, of course, the breaking news. KSA football going to kick off 2025 outside of the United States. But when we come back, oh, and by the way, didn't get to it yesterday. Going to do it today since we didn't do it last week. Jabroni of the Week. We got to do a Jabroni of the Week. We'll do that in hour number two. When we come back, I'm going to get Troy's reaction to Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. Because for some reason, I got the feeling that Troy just actually is not a fan of that. But we'll find out next. We continue with hour one of the game. Mitch Fortner, AJ Shaw, Troy Coverdale. We'll take your phone calls. 785-537-1350. If you have an opinion on K-State, Iowa State kicking off the 2025 season in Dublin, Ireland. The date is August 23rd, 2025, Aviva Stadium in Dublin. Because I certainly hear from both sides, this is a big opportunity for K-State in multiple ways. You do lose a home game, and for now, it'll be two straight years. K-State is down to six home games because they're going to have six this year. Now it's going to be six next year. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, it does make the home schedule at the Bill. I mean, I'll just tell you what it is. So, and I forgot who it was, found out now during the break. North Dakota is the FCS opponent.
The Fighting Hawks.
Yeah, and then you have Army coming in.
Okay.
And Army's... You know, that'll be, you know, it's interesting, right? It's Army, you know?
Right.
UCF, TCU, Texas Tech, and Colorado. So that'll now be the 2025 home schedule. Depending, I mean, just on the surface, just looking at it, brand-wise, matchup, you know, it doesn't look like the most exciting home schedule. It's highlighted by the return of Colorado to Bill Snyder Family Stadium, and that also means, you know, Deion Sanders.
Right.
Bringing in a Colorado team is clearly the headliner.
Oh, that sideline's going to be lit.
So I totally understand if some in the community would be like, oh, we're losing a home game. It is a little bit different from 2021 because K-State still had seven home games with the Stanford game being moved to AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Now the 2025 schedule, like 2024, just has six home games. I do understand that side of it. I am not a business owner. I'm a fan. But also, you know, this may be an opportunity for this guy because if it is technically a K-State home game, is it treated like the game at AT&T Stadium where not only is K-State the home team, it is treated from fan experience as a K-State home game. So does the PA guy get to go over to Ireland and be the PA announcer?
It took only one step down that path before I knew where he was going with this.
Same thing. You got to work on your Irish accent. You got about a year to work on it.
Well, listen, as soon as there'll be no, I'm not here to be offensive to anybody. So there will be no Irish accent.
You're not going to talk in a brogue?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I'm going to eat the food and see the sights. That's as Irish as, and I'm going to drink some Guinness. That's as Irish as I'm going to get. I'm a tourist, and also it's a business trip.
Pardon me what I shudder because of Guinness.
I don't even know if I'm going yet, but saving some pennies.
You can tell I've got German heritage, by the way. I can't stand Guinness.
You don't like Guinness?
No.
It isn't like, you know.
It's an acquired taste, I know, yes.
When you're used to Busch Light or Bud Light or Coors Light or Miller Light, yeah, it's different.
I just cannot do bitter beers.
I can really do any kind of beer. I can do stouts. I can do seltzers, you know, kind of a, you know, IPAs across the board. You know, I'm accustomed to it now. I remember when I had my first stout, and it was in New York City. It was like $8. I was like, well, everybody else is having one. I'm going to try one. And I'm 22 years old. I'm not used to stouts. I don't think I'd ever had one before. I was like, God.
Yeah.
I barely got through half of it.
Well, and that's the other thing at play nowadays. My punching weight is much lower than what it used to be.
As in?
Don't hit me with something.
Anymore?
Not correct. Not nearly what I was able to drink in the past, yes.
And for those
the alcohol percentage is much more limited.
And if you don't know, Guinness is a stout beer.
Yeah. As my brother's old comment was, if I wanted a beer that tasted like coffee, I'd drink coffee.
Okay. I mean, hey, shout to O'Malley's, by the way. They have Guinness.
Yes.
Used to be a place the old fort would go to on a Saturday night and have a few drinks, you have a few pints, you know what I'm saying? Great place still, in my opinion, great place. So obviously, big news, Cats kicking off 2025 in football with Iowa State. Farmageddon is heading to Ireland to kick off the 2025 college football season. At least I assume that is the kickoff game and has been the last couple of years. You know, the Reggie Bush news is quite interesting because he got his Heisman Trophy back today. Interesting ceremony. It was Eric Crouch that presented Reggie Bush with his Heisman Trophy again. I'm like, no Carson Palmer, no Matt Leinart, no Jason White, who had won after Eric Crouch didn't have the honor. I just thought Eric Crouch was a real random one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that definitely, especially given that. Is it Leinart that's on the show with them? No, it's Brady.
No, I thought Matt Leinart was on
the
show.
He is.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. You know.
Talking about Brady Quinn.
Yeah, Brady Quinn.
Who was a runner-up to Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush.
Yeah. So Leinart would have been the candidate you would have thought.
But it wasn't necessarily taken away. It was just forfeited over back to the Heisman Trust because of benefits he received while at USC, like $300,000 or something like that to him and his family. And USC had 14 wins taken away. They had their 2004 national championship vacated. I've always said it does feel like more often than not, NCAA or whoever else involved in it is typically pretty forgiving when it comes to taking wins away or taking national championships away. I mean, look at the Jerry Sandusky stuff. I mean, a lot of that got returned to Penn State. So you know, this kind of stuff doesn't surprise me, but I think the Heisman Trust, they did this without any say from the NCAA. That's what I gathered.
Yeah, the NCAA still has a couple of court issues related to all of that.
And it's two separate entities anyway, but they typically work together.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. This is the Heisman Trust basically saying, okay, given how the game is now in terms of NIL and all of that, what Reggie Bush did and what his family did at that point would be legal under NIL. And so what sense does it make to take the award away from him?
Reggie, but I think Vince Young finished in second for that Heisman. Mm-hmm.
And then turned around and won the national championship.
Yeah, because that was the year, USC and Texas played in one of the best national championships
ever. Yeah. Yeah.
And Matt Leinart, I think, was third. And then you go to I think A.J. Hawk was also a that was a really good season.
That was a tremendous class.
When it comes to Heisman finalists or Heisman, those that receive votes, incredible class. All right, let's take a break. We're going to wrap up hour one of the game. Coming up in hour number two, we got K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes. Going to talk about that. Well, it was a very slight RPI hit, even though they beat Omaha. We'll look forward to the TCU series, which starts on Friday, plus a couple of basketball players for K-State departing in their own way. Hour two of the game next.